Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome
to Christianity Unplugged. We're coming to you live today with a new and exciting interactive Bible study. This discussion will be from the Book of John. Now introducing Pastor Philip Moses.
Unplugged.
My name is Pastor Phil Moses, but I'm your host for tonight for the Christianity Unplugged. If you would, we'd like for you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 18, and it's right there where we'll start. We're going to read the chapter in its entirety. So we're going to go ahead and pray, and then we're going to ask God to go ahead and give us clearance so we can take off. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank and praise you, Lord, for this word tonight. Father, we thank you, Lord, that even as we read the scripture tonight, Father, that you would touch our hearts, Father, that you begin to, Father, have us to, oh, Father, understand that this word, Father, is what we need. This is nourishment for our bodies, Lord. Father, I thank and praise you, Lord, that even as we read the word tonight, that you would even touch our hearts, Father. There's some, Father, even on the broadcast, Father, that need to hear word from you, Father. I'm asking you to even enlighten them, Father, with your word. And, Father, that they may be healed, delivered, and set free, Father, and that their lives, Father, will never be the same again. We absolutely love you, Father. We thank you, and we give your name all the praise that is due. In Jesus' name, let every tongue say, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm going to read the chapter in its entirety, and we're going to go ahead and get started. As we get closer to the end of the life of Jesus, when life literally starts for the believer, this is an outstanding chapter the verses that we're about to read. I think they're just outstanding for the believer that understands he's on his way to his mountaintop experience. Amen? So it says in John chapter 18, verse number 1, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden, into which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. That rascal. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom do you seek, or whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus said unto them, I'm he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them, that rascal. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backwards and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I've told you that I'm he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which have with thou have given me, I have lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was a high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews. and it was for expedient, that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without, or outside. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also one of the man's disciples? He says, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Then Jesus answered him, Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world, I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whether the Jews always resort, and in secret I have said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me, what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, answer thou the high priest so. Jesus answered him, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had set him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied again and said, I'm not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, said, did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately, coo, 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 the croc crowed three times. I can't do the crowing thing. Somebody in here can. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto you or thee. Then Pilate said unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it to thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew, thine own nation, and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Or here, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born, for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is the truth, or what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all, but you have a custom that I should release to you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Amen. Wow. Every account of this is the fourth time that we read this account. But John's account, he literally kind of put some stuff in there that we haven't seen before. So we're going to talk about a couple of things. When I saw this, I kind of immediately saw some things that kind of popped out for me. So I hope you guys kind of enjoy what I saw. Amen. Because I believe that this, we heard this kind of on different occasions. And this is the passion. They call it the passion of Christ. And I've always been interested in why they call Jesus going to the cross, the crucifixion, as ugly as it was, passion. But I had to think about it. It's interesting that your passion only comes to pass when it comes to suffering. Let me say that again, because somebody may not have gotten that. Might not have gotten that. You only achieve or receive your passion. You only get your passion. I'm thinking things that you're passionate about through a process of suffering, and that's the economy of God. You have to go through some things to get to that, to get to the place where your passion is realized. So, you know, after I was thinking about the passion, it's just so important for us, because God gives us all passions. He really does. And when I'm talking about passion, I'm not talking about anything sexual. I'm talking about passion, then when God gives you kind of a burden and you've got this thing that you got to do, amen, in life. I think these passions come through suffering. They come through a process of you have to go through something to achieve them. I really believe that. So the passion here that Jesus is about to go through is literally what he came to earth to do. It was his thing he had to do in life. My question to you is, what is your passion? What are you passionate about from a godly standpoint? Why did God put you on this earth? Well, whatever that thing is, you achieve that thing through a process of suffering. And you wonder why you have to go through some things to get to the place in God. I believe we learn his character. We learn his nature. We learn how to appreciate the things of God when we go through things. Amen? And we get character. Amen? God builds character in us. Anyway, this literally is about Jesus going to his character, Jesus going to the mountaintop. In God, I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. But I believe what's in these verses that I'm going to talk about, the first four verses, I think it's instruction for us on how to get to this passionate place or this ultimate place in God in our lives. Amen. What he called you to do, I think there's some nuggets in here. So I'm going to start reading verse number one. We're going to talk about some things. We're going to be as brief as we can be, and I'm going to let you go. Because in Atlanta tonight, they said this is the coldest night of the year. Amen. So I want you guys to get home and get your water dripping, get you some hot water, not hot chocolate because we're fasting. But warm you up some water and drink it like it's hot cocoa. Amen. Amen. Don't put nothing in it because we're fasting. But anyway, so I digress. I want to talk about these first couple of chapters, maybe first three, four chapters, and then we'll let you go. It says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. So understand that Jesus had just done this long soliloquy or prayer. He had just been to the disciples, I think even from John 15, just about, or 14. Don't let not your hearts be troubled. You remember telling them that? Because he was about to go to his place of passion. He was about to be crucified. So he was setting up the disciples in terms of what he's about to go through. And how about the disciples had no clue of what was about to happen? That's why Peter so erroneously said that he would go to his grave with Christ. He was the one that denied Christ three times. But it's interesting, they had no clue of what was about to happen. But Jesus continually told them, I'm going to the cross. It's going to be ugly. And, you know, you guys are going to be with me for a while, and then I'm going to be gone. And it's interesting, when he was speaking to them, he was speaking these words just to give them comfort, instruction, and to prepare them for what was about to come. So when Jesus had spoken these words of comfort, these words of instruction, and these words of preparation to the disciples, he went forth with his disciple over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. So if I really were doing a Sunday message, I would call this first verse the brook. And I want to talk about this brook for a while, because I believe that this brook is instructional as we kind of go to our place of passion. As we get to our place, our mountaintop experience in God, I believe that this brook becomes important. They cross over the brook. Now, I want to talk about this brook just because this is the same brook that King David crossed over when he was betrayed even by his son Absalom. So this book becomes kind of instruction for us. I've got four things that I want to talk about relative to this book. The first thing I want to talk about that this book was seasonal. This book that was in the Valley of the Kidron, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute, it was seasonal. This book was not wet, or it was not watered year-round. Only in the winter would this book come, you know, that it would rain would come because of the rainy season, but it would dry. It'd be dusty. This is a dusty dirt kind of a path other times of the year. And I look at that and I think, even in the brook that we must cross, and I think we'll have to cross a brook to get to that place of passion in our valley, and I think the brook is in the valley, I believe that it's seasonal, that we have to go through this valley season, if you will, this low place for a season. I can just think about every time God has taken me to my next wealthy place, I can remember right before the wealthy place, there was this valley. I had to go through this dark place, and it's interesting that Kidron means dark, gloomy, shadowy. It's literally a place. This was a runoff. This brook was a runoff. So it was dirty. Come on now. And how about this? I read this, that the temple sacrifices, the blood from these animals, it flowed into this brook. So this brook was kind of red from blood. So it's kind of a nasty place. I just thought it was instructional for you. But anyway, it was seasonal. And that's to let us know that when we go through our valley time, right before God is about to do something big in our lives, we have to know that it's just going to be seasonal, that he only takes us through these processes seasonal. Now, I'm getting this from this. You may get something totally different. So if you get something different, that's fine. It was seasonal. Not only that, as I talked about it, the temple sacrifice, the blood from the temple sacrifices flowed through here, I think, too, not only is the brook seasonal, but it's sacrificial. I think that God requires in your valley place that you be sacrificial, that you be in a place where you understand I've got to give something of value in this place. Don't be in your valley place and think that you're going to take. But be in that valley place where you something, because the sacrifice is you giving something valuable to God. Amen? So be sacrificial in that place. Amen? Number three I have is it was separated. Let me tell you why I talk about this separated place. Or I think even us going in our valley place to get to our next wealthy place, that it's a separation, because this Kidron Brook, the Kidron Valley, separated what it was between was the Mount of Olives, amen, and the temple, amen. But there was a separation, and I just believe that God would call us to a place of separation, and even in his valley time, that we would separate from things that are not like God. I'm saying something to somebody. We'll separate from things that should be in our lives, people, places, things. I'm saying something to somebody who may be in your valley place now. Some of you are probably going ripping through a valley place right now because God's about to take you to an exponential growth place. Trust me, in this place, there should be some separation. Some of us, and let me say this lest I miss an opportunity to say something very valuable. Some of us get stuck in our valley. Some of us never pull out. It's seasonal, but we're there year-round in this valley. And I believe it's because we don't get the lesson. If you don't get the lesson, you won't get the blessing. So God will require that we go through this seed, that we understand that this is seasonal, that we understand that this is a time of sacrifice, that we understand that this is a time of section, that we separate some things, separate from some things. And the last thing I want to say, it's also a season of satanic battle. I just remembered because the scripture said this when Jesus, I'm in 18, John 18, verse number 1, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron. But this next thing is what I'm focusing on now, where there was a garden. It's interesting. So Jesus came from the Temple Mount. Passover just happened. Him and his disciples, they crossed over they went into the valley, crossed over the brook, and as they were going back up to the Mount of Olives, and I think this is our mountaintop experience, as they were going up, there was this garden. Anybody know what this garden is called? This is Bible study. Jeff Simmons, how y'all know that? And I did. Y'all rascals make me halfway mad about that. But Gethsemane, I did know that. But Gethsemane was the very place where this garden was. And you're going to see in a minute that this was a garden where Jesus met often. Or in this place, this is where Jesus frequented with his disciples to meet with him. All right? So I'm saying satanic battle because I remember the first garden that Adam went through. And his biggest battle was satanic. I'm telling you. Now we find Jesus in the Gethsemane, and you know what happens in Gethsemane. This is when Satan comes to meet him again. So even this say in this valley place, come on, I'm saying something. When you get going to your place, it's probably going to be a satanic battle. He's going to probably offer you everything that you're big enough to receive. When it's Satan offering it, say no, please. As soon as Jesus came off of his fast, the first thing Satan said, turn these stones into bread. Jesus said, I ain't got nothing to do with you, Doc. Go on about your business. Hungry as he was, go on about your business. He knew Jesus was destined to be king of the world. He said, I'm going to take you to a high place. I'm going to show you some stuff. So he took him to the highest place and said, all this can be yours. Jesus said, go somewhere, man. God has already promised me this stuff. But what he promised Jesus is, I can give it to you now. See, some of us, we want to rush the process of God, and we want to go ahead of the plan of God, so we're in our valley place, I'm just saying. We're about to go to our mountain place. He'll offer you this stuff, and you've got to be really into God because you've got to be focused enough to say no. Because what God got for me, he got for me. You can always tell when it's satanic stuff because it's rushed. You get it now. You know, and we're in that season. We're in life now, or we're in a society now where everything goes real quick. They want you to get stuff like that. And I bought into it. You know, I don't even like to wait. I'm in a, you know, whatever it is that I see something, you don't want to go through the process of time and wait for God to, you know, he want to develop some stuff in you. When you get to your mountainous place, he wants you to be able to maintain. He wants you to be able to function from a Christian and godly standpoint once you get to that place. But when you get it early, you probably end up killing yourself in that place. Or you're ruining the blessing. I'm saying something to somebody. So the satanic battle is what happens when you're in your valley, but you got to learn to tell Satan where to go. This is not my season. I'm going to wait on God. You're going to know it's God. Because there's a couple of factors I always say about when it's God. Your flesh ain't going to really want to receive it, honestly. It's going to go against your flesh. So if it's going against your flesh, it's probably God. If it's quick, if it's real, real, real quick, it's probably not God. Amen. Because God wants us to develop patience and be able to wait for him in his place. Now, those are the four things in the book that I really kind of extracted from Jesus Christ and the disciples' experience in this brook, that it was a seasonal thing, because the brook was only the brook, you know, during the winter months. But I believe in this process that we already know that it's seasonal, our valley, right before the mountaintop. The second thing was it's sacrificial, because the temple worship, or the sacrifices from the temple worship. When they killed the animals, the blood ran down into this brook. It was sacrificial. And I believe in this seasonal time, we should be sacrificial. Be willing to give God something very vital or very important to you. That's all sacrifice is. Number four, it's a time of separation, because the brook separated, the valley was separated by the Mount of Olives and by the temple. And last, the satanic battle. because they were in the garden. Amen. So I'm going to go quickly because my time is just about up through the next verse, which is verse number 2. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, that rascal. He knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted here with his disciples. So Judas knew that Jesus in this time would retreat to the to Gethsemane, to this garden. So he betrayed him in this place. And I believe, as I was speaking, first is the brook, but the next is the betrayer. I believe when we're in our season or we're about to get to this place of exponential growth or our mountaintop experience, I truly believe we're going to have to deal with our Judas. And listen, I believe sometimes Judas is a good thing. Sometimes you got this betrayer to come. Again, I remember every move, every vital move that I made in God. I always remember that there was a Judas that pushed me to my next, to push me to my next place. A betrayer, a hater. Or I'm saying something to somebody. One of you gonna these people I'm gonna name right quick. When we were started the ministry, we started on our porch. My neighbor was the type of Judas. Amen. I mean, he came the first service we had, came and sat with us on the porch. Just talked about the goodness of the Lord. 3 weeks later, the code enforcement people came and said that somebody in your neighborhood don't like you. I said, why? Because they've been reporting you every Sunday, every Wednesday. We begin to report that you guys are having a disturbance. And I had to think about it. He couldn't tell me it was, but I went to the president of the neighborhood community because I went to chew him out. I wanted to let him know exactly how I felt about it. Because I went to every house before we started having service. I asked everybody in the community, would it be okay? And everybody said, it would be beautiful. That's exactly what this neighborhood needs. We need some spiritual inspirational thing going on. So I went to him, and I, in no uncertain terms, told him how I felt about him. And he, in no uncertain terms, told me who it was. He said, you need to look at your neighbor. I said, that rascal came to the first service and told me how much he enjoyed everything. He was calling. But Judas literally sometimes come into your life to push you to your next level. What we had to do is move from there. That's when the church started its movement in terms of going. We probably stayed in that spot too long. So sometimes your Judas is a good dude. For Jesus is a good dude because he was the one that paved the way for him to be turned over to the Jews and then over to the Romans so he could be crucified. I'm saying something to somebody. But understanding your valley, you're probably going to have a Judas, a hater. But sometimes the hate is to push you on up to your mountaintop experience, get you out of that funk, because some of us are staying in the valley too long. So that's the betrayal. We talked about the brook, and that's the betrayal. Verse number 3, because my time is going quick, and I may not finish with this. Judas then, having received a band of men. So the next one is this band of men. So it's the brook. It's the betrayer and his band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. I got like 90 seconds. Well, this band of men literally was called a detachment. They were literally 200 to 600 military people, guards, officers, that came just for little old Jesus. The takeaway was probably 200 to 600 guys. But I like to think of this band of men in our life, when we're in our valley, as folk that come. The Bible says Jesus told the disciples that the world is going to hate you. This is you being hated in that place. I don't think that we have touched the processes of God until the world start hating you. Most of us as believers, we love by the world. Why? Because we're just like the world. We eat, drink, sleep, do everything. They do, and we're trying to get what they got. I'm just saying. But it's when you're in that valley place, learn when we're in God and about to go to our wealthy place in Him, the world gonna hate you. And the room gets quiet. And the last thing I want to say, I got 10 seconds left. I'm gonna say it quickly. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things, should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom thou seek? The last thing I said, that Jesus is a bad man. Amen. He's a bad man because he knows all things. He knows exactly what you're going through. Amen. My time is up. It's been a amazing pleasure me serving you. Please listen to our announcer. She gives you.
You've been listening to Christianity Unplugged. We thank you for tuning in this evening. To get plugged in with more electrifying messages, books, and DVDs, please visit us at spmatlanta.org. If you would like to come and get powered up during our Sunday services or up-and-coming events, we can be located 2697 Tulkin Road, Indicator, Georgia. And remember, go away and sin no more.
Amen, amen, amen.